Daniel chapter 1, just one verse. I can't help but think of Joseph. My wife and I were talking this afternoon before the service, and talking about the youth in the Bible that really set forth a good pattern, a good positive image. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Joseph was one of those kind. David. And that's the kind of young people God's looking for. And here is a young man, a teenager, Daniel, and some of his friends had been taken into captivity. Jehoiakim, king of Judah, during that reign of him, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he took a lot of men there, and they picked out the best of the lot and said, "We want these kids. We're going to retrain them." You know, that's what our culture is trying to do to them. They want to take our sharpest kids and retrain them, just exactly like Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do. It's a cultural battle all the time, and God bless these young people who have the courage to take a stand. But in verse 8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart." Consider this. Purpose in your heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. That's way deep down on the inside for sure. It's the real thing. "That he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." You know why? Because Daniel's mind was made up. He had made his decision, and he was going to stay by his decision. And I thank God for every decision that was made at camp. I do. And as you've heard, an unusual thing, everybody who went made some kind of commitment to God or some type of decision. That's a very rare thing. It tells us that our people were praying, that the youth workers were praying, that God was working, and the whole youth camp was blessed like that, and they were blessed, and we thank God for it. Now, I want to encourage you young people to have the heart of Daniel. And please hear what I'm trying to say tonight as your pastor. Please follow through with your decisions. Follow through with your decisions. Now, I'm going to tell you honestly what some of the old heads around here are thinking right now. Some of the mature Christians, they're thinking, "Well, this is a flash in the pan. It's just one of those things that happens. They'll get over it about a week or two, and that'll be that until camp next year." Well, you prove us wrong. Would you do that? Prove them wrong. I'm with you on it. I believe you meant it, and I believe you're going to stand with it. But prove the whole church wrong if anybody should be thinking that. Show them that it's not just a little temporary thing in a decision that you made at camp. And once you get back in school in the fall, it's going to go by the wayside. Once you get back around your peers, no. You've made a decision for Jesus. You've made a decision that God laid upon your heart, and you need to do, just like Meredith said, keep God in the forefront. No matter what, keep God in the forefront. And that's what it's going to take. You've got to focus on the Lord. And if you don't keep God in the forefront, you're going to have temptations. You can count on that. And you're going to fail. But if you'll keep your eyes on God, on the Lord, and that testimony and that decision that you made. We heard about some saying, "I wasn't reading my Bible like I should. And I want to get back to reading my Bible." And even some other good literature that had gotten in the way of reading the Bible. Isn't it amazing? The devil will even use good stuff to keep us out of the Word of God. But you're going to have to stay with it. You made a decision to get back in the Word. Now get back in the Word and stay in the Word, and don't let anything get you out of the Word of God. And by the way, that's good stuff for adults here too. A lot of us tonight as adults need to say, "I'm just like those young people. I need to get back to the Word of God also." Read your Bible. Listen to the right kind of music. They You heard testimony tonight of someone saying the music I was listening to was bad. And some of you older people are sheltered as to what is out there. I mean, it's bad stuff. You would not believe the language. You would not believe the suggestions that are there in it and all of those things. And a Christian young person cannot let that stuff filter into their hearts and their minds without it having an impact on them. You mothers and dads need to be sure that you know what they're listening to. And yes, you need to regulate what they're listening to. And it may not be legalism, young people, but you need to consider that it's very important that you listen to the right thing. I might also add to the adults. We need to listen to the right thing too. If you listen to honky-tonk music that's talking about drinking beer and everybody running out on everybody and having another affair, that's not going to build you up too much spiritually either. We need to listen to good, godly music. Turn it on and listen to it and let it be something to bless your heart. And they talked about having a good testimony. Somebody said, maybe one or two of them, that I want to have a better testimony. Or I want to witness without having fear. I want to do this. And then, thank God, a number of them surrendered to full-time service. Now, stay with that. Don't come back next year and say, well, I got away from it this year. And then the next year, I got away from it this year. Watch out, or you'll get away from it completely. You'll get away from your calling if you're not careful. Because the devil's going to try every way in this world to try to keep you from following through with full-time service. Now, I want to be clear here. I thank God for every teenager. They go on off to college. Not all of them are called into full-time service. But you can still serve God wherever you are, doing whatever you're doing. We don't have an elitism and a difference there. We need Christians serving everywhere. And if it just so happens God calls you into full-time service, you better follow Him. You better do it. God called me into full-time service. I was 12 years of age. I won't go into the story behind all of that, but I know He called me to be a preacher. Well, I had a good buddy that I'd run around with. He was a pretty good guy. He was saved. Said he was saved anyway. He sort of acted like it most of the time. And we ran around together. And so when I was getting ready to graduate, he came up with this great brilliant idea that since we had been buddies so long, we ought to buy us a Corvette. And how many of you remember Route 66? Cookie, cookie, lend me your comb. Raise your hand. Oh, you bunch of old folks. You remember, don't you? And he said, man, my brother-in-law is in Alaska, and we can get a job on the pipeline and make money like crazy. And let's buy a Corvette together. We both had 57 Chevrolets. I don't know what a Corvette would have had on those. But at any rate, that was the thing to do. And boy, he was really making it sound good. And he about had me talked into that. I remember making my mother cry. And she was saying, you know that that's not what you're supposed to do. And I knew in my heart that wasn't what I was supposed to do. And I was trying to get away from God. And God did me a great favor. A lady driving an Oldsmobile station wagon loaded, another lady and a bunch of kids came into the service station. I worked at a golf service station, and it was full service back in those days. And it was 30 cents a gallon back in those days, too. Long time ago. And she said, my car's running hot. Could you check the radiator? And I said, yeah. So, you know, you turn it to the first slot, and you let the pressure go off, and then you turn it after that goes off. The problem was the last person jammed it, and there was no first slot. And when I turned it to the first slot, I didn't have glasses in. It just came out on my face. Scalded my face. You know what I was thinking about then? All right, Lord, I'm listening. I'm listening real well. And I'd been a little cocky with my dad, you know. You know how when we're 17, 18, we know everything, you know. We think we do. And that's normal, I guess. But my daddy had to come to that service station and lead me to the car, lead me to the hospital. I went home with salve all over my face, green, thick salve all over my face. Looked horrible. Got in bed in there in a little bedroom. And finally I said, Dad, He came to the door. He said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm going to Bible college." He said, "I've been praying." Turned around and walked off. I said, "Well, I'm glad." I thought, "Well, I'm glad you're so excited." I'm just simply telling you, stay with it. Amen. You make a commitment. Listen. Listen to me, young people, and adults too. When you make a commitment to God, you better take it seriously. When you make a decision for God, you don't need to play around with it. God was good to me, and He was very gracious that day, and He got my attention. And I'm glad He did. If He hadn't, what would He have had to have done? And I do believe there have been people who failed premature graves because they didn't follow through with what God called them to do. We've got to follow through with the decision God's given us. The second thing I want to tell you, young people, and it applies to everybody, and that is stay involved. Stay involved in the youth department. Just determine that you're going to be one of those leaders. Or if you're not a leader and that's not interesting to you, be a good follower. And get in there and say, by God's grace, this youth department of Worth Baptist Church, not for bragging rights or pride, but for the glory of Almighty God, is going to be one of the best in the whole world, in spite of everything. And just determine that you're going to stay involved in those things. And then support the youth ministry in every way. Support it. Be supportive of the youth ministry. Don't be divisive. Be supportive. Be a kind of youth person that wants to bring people together. And by the way, include everybody. Love everybody in the youth department. We don't need some over here that may have a little more material things and may have a few more things because their family has more money, and then some sort of somewhere right along here that don't have that, and then some over here that may not be perfect A students. And by the way, if you were raised like some of them in their circumstances, you wouldn't have what you have either, and you wouldn't be the young person that you are. You just wouldn't be. This thing about driving me crazy. I didn't get it on right tonight. That's all right. I'll keep it on. I'll just keep moving it. But I'm just simply saying, we don't need a little group of elitists over here and a group over here that doesn't speak to this group and a group over here. And here are some people, they're poor people and they ride the bus, and we don't. We're over here and we got a lot of money and all that stuff, and we're pillars of the church. You just need to love each other. All the way across the board, Jesus Christ died for every teenager in the youth department. He died for every one of you. We're all different. And we're not all going to like the same kinds of things. And God has made us all different. Thank God for variety. What if everybody was just like me and Brother Rigsby? What in the world? God must have had a sense of humor the way He made a bunch of us, you know. I'm just simply saying, you got to look over those little quirks. You got to say, hey, maybe he doesn't make straight A's, but God loves him and Jesus died for him, and he is part of our youth department. And conversely, you look at him and say, well, they make straight A's, I don't think I'm going to like them. That's wrong too. If that happens to be the culture they have and the home situation they have, I'm just saying, be supportive of the youth ministry. Let me say to you adults, you too. You too. And thank God, it was a blessing to me to hear these young people say, thank you for helping us with our fundraisers. That means the adults and everybody helped. You see the results. I mean, man, I'll pay that much for spaghetti and free ice cream anytime if I can see this kind of results. Amen. Even if spaghetti's not the best. I mean, no, it's good spaghetti. It's good spaghetti. Good spaghetti. That's all right. And then, youth department, listen, be careful, because once you experience something like a revival, you have the tendency to come inward and say, look at us, our youth department, but please don't do that. Please reach out. Reach out. Reach out. Reach out in the school. Reach out in the community. Reach out on visitation. Reach out. There are a lot of teenagers out there just like you who want to hear the truth. They really want to hear the truth. And just reach out to them and love them and help them and bring them to Christ. And you know what? If you say you're a Christian, they expect you to tell them about Jesus. They really do. I was reprimanded the other day. I'll have to confess this to my neighbor. And sometimes I think you have to have the right timing. But I was talking to him about being saved, and I said, you know, I don't think I've ever mentioned this to you before. I don't think I've ever told you this. He said, no, and I was wondering why. I said, okay, Lord, I got that one. Because he was sort of a loud, boisterous type guy, and I was like, you know, I want to be sure it's the right timing. And I think God works in those ways. But, well, what a reprimand. I'm just simply saying there are people out there that expect us to witness to them and to bring them in to the youth department. Do what you can to do that. And then watch out for the devil. Do you know he doesn't want this thing to go on? He doesn't. You better watch out, because he'll try to get in the thing and mess it up every time. Just know that, be forewarned, and when it begins to happen, say, whoa, wait a minute. I know who you are, and I know what you're up to, and I resist you in the name of Jesus, and you're not going to use me like that, old devil. You're not going to use me to break the unity and the revival spirit that the youth department is going through. Not going to do that. The devil is going to fight it. We need to, just like he does adults, we need to do it. We need to serve God and stand true to your commitment. May God bless you, young people, and give you the courage in a God-forsaken society where it is not easy. Never has been. It wasn't easy for Daniel. It's never really been easy, but I think it's a little harder in America for you today than it was when I was 16, 17, to stand up for the Lord. It was a little more accepted then. But you just stick with your guns and let the whole world know, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I love Jesus. I love God. I am not ashamed of Him. I'm like Daniel. I've made up my mind, and I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Amen? If you're not saved, why don't you come tonight and trust Him as your Savior? Let's stand, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church, the privilege to pastor it. And I thank you, dear God, for our youth department. I'm thankful down through the years, there's been an emphasis in many ways on the youth department. Always been a concern, an interest. I know Dr. Barber had an interest, and I do in my heart, for our precious young people. And Father, I thank you for everyone who's ever served here to help impact the lives of young people. They have. Every one of them has impacted people for the cause of Christ. And we thank you for that. Thank you for these young people who went to camp. Some perhaps did not, and yet, Lord, I hope that this will impact them to hear these testimonies. We know everybody cannot necessarily go to camp. But I'm thankful you made a way for many of these, and thank you, God, for their decisions. And God, I pray, O God, that you would help them to follow through with these commitments, these decisions they've made. Help them to fight the devil when he begins to fight such great decisions. Give them grace. Give them help. Give them the touch of your Spirit. Give them your guidance. Give them your conviction. Give them courage like Daniel to stand. May that be true of all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.